sorry.
Karen.
The first thing on here is conditional use 1938, Karen Marley.
Yeah, I will check out the code. That's my neighborhood.
That's fine, that's fine.
You don't represent your neighborhood?
Yes, I do, but awfully close to my land. It's right next door to our lot, so I better not vote on it.
Just for the record, Ms. Deaver is recusing herself and leaving the room.
Tell her to feel free to come back in about an hour.
Good morning again.
Morning, sir.
We have two items of old business this morning. First one is conditional use number 1938, the application of Karen Barwick to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a therapist office and residence to be located on a certain parcel of land lying being in Lewis and Rehoboth Hundred, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 22,161 square feet, more or less, lying north of Route 24, also known as John J. Williams Highway, 425 feet east of Route 275, also known as Plantation Road, excuse me, and being identified as tax map ID 334, map 12, parcel 85. Excuse me. This application has been around since August 9th of 2012, the commission's first public hearing. And the council held a public hearing on September 11th of 2012. The application was reviewed in public hearing as stated. It was, excuse me, reviewed several times by the commission as old business. And in the final decision of the commission on September 6th of 2012, Mr. Burton stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use 1938 for Karen Barwick for a therapist office based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. The proposed conditional use is appropriate for this section of Route 24 directly across from the BB Medical Center campus. One, the proposed use is primarily a home occupation where the applicant conducts one-on-one therapy sessions. The need for this conditional use is the applicant's intention to provide group therapy sessions on the premise on a regular limited basis. Two, the use of the therapist's office will benefit the health, safety, and welfare of Sussex County residents. Three, the project with the conditions and stipulations placed upon it will not have an adverse impact on neighboring properties or the community. And four, this recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions. A, the use shall be limited to small group therapy sessions in addition to the one-on-one therapy sessions permitted as a home occupation. B, there shall be no more than seven participants in any group therapy session on the premise. The group session will also be limited to two group sessions per week. C, the parking shall be reconfigured to contain only seven spaces with barriers to prohibit parking on grassy areas. The single parking space nearest the do not enter signs shall be eliminated. One additional parking space shall be provided for a handicap space. The applicant shall also install signage notifying clients that parking on Collins Avenue is prohibited. D, the applicant shall post a sign at the Collins Avenue exit identifying the reduced speed on the residential roadway. E, the applicant shall contribute a pro rata share of all upkeep and maintenance costs of Collins Avenue. F, there shall also be one lighted sign along Route 24 to identify the practice and the entrance. The sign shall not exceed 32 square feet in size per side, and it shall not be illuminated between the hours of 9 p.m. and 6 a.m. G, the hours of the operation shall be between 7 a.m. and 8 p.m., Monday through Saturday. H, there shall not be any parking in a front yard setback. I, all entrances and improvements shall comply with all of DLDOT's requirements. J, the use shall be served by county sewer when the service becomes available and shall comply with the requirements of the county engineering department regarding any improvements to the system that are required to serve the property. K, the applicant shall submit a revised preliminary site plan addressing the conditions of this approval. L, this approval is linked to the applicant's therapy home occupation. As a result, this conditional use shall automatically expire in the event the applicant no longer resides in the property and the home occupation is no longer valid. And M, the final site plan shall be subject to review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion by Mr. Burton, seconded by Mr. Johnson, carried with 4 votes to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. That motion carried 4-1 with Mr. Wheatley opposing the motion. At the council, council held a public hearing on September 11th on this application of 2012. And they heard recommendations of the commission, held public hearing, and then deferred. Mr. Fuquay offered conditions also. And then lastly, the application was deferred with no reason stated. Well, they did. There was a reference in discussion, but not in the motion. Mr. Cole suggests that the council defer action to consider the equitable use of Collins Avenue. But the motion was just for deferral. And that's all I have. Unless you have questions.
Question, Mr. Lank?
No, but I do have some I'd like to add.
Cool.
Okay. We got one of these issues again we get from time to time where there's a private road involved and the concerns of, you know, how to deal with it, and it is difficult. I know there's ways we can do it, like through deed restrictions, right, things like that, which can be costly and difficult to require, you know, all that to, you know, to do that, to address the maintenance, and I believe it was the primary concern on the private road. And I believe from conversations I've had with the attorney for the applicant, he's E under conditions. Mm-hmm. He had suggested, and the applicant is agreeable to it, that, you know, they would do a 50%, you know, share of the upkeep and maintenance. And in the past, I've been trying to keep us out of enforcement on some things, but I think because of this, a private road and an issue like this, and I think it's important. So, and again, if we didn't do it here, you'd have to do it maybe in deed restrictions, which again is very costly and burdensome on neighbors and this property owner. So I would suggest that we do add in the E that the applicant shall contribute 50% share of all upkeep and maintenance cost of Collins Avenue, which is the private road. I'd also might want to add, make sure that nobody construes this to mean, it only means that during, that while this conditional use is an active conditional use, if the conditional use gets voided or ceases to exist, that this, all these conditions, right, would disappear, right? We go back to normal conditions so that people wouldn't be able to say, well, you know, you agreed to 50% forever or something like that. So it's only if the that commercial activity in that house is impacting Collins Avenue that we should have maybe a 50% share, so that at least people can reference back to this document and say, yes, the intent for this council and the applicant was to, you know, to share in the maintenance. So I think we could put it in here and be comfortable with it. So that would be my suggestion.
Okay.
How many lives on that road besides him?
I can't remember. Five or six, I think.
But it was done years ago where there isn't any formal way to address it. And I live in a similar situation where neighbors have to get together, and sometimes some neighbors don't want to participate, and it's very hard. And at least this puts on record that the intent was this, to help at a 50% share.
Who's going to force them to make that decision to make this maintenance, to do this maintenance when it needs to be done?
Well, that's we're not in there. We're not doing that. Once they decide that there is maintenance to be done,
well, it'll be this, maintenance. No doubt, be maintenance to be done.
Right.
Well, that's, we wouldn't even think that way.
Well, we're not going to get that far into it, saying we're staying. Well,
somebody's going to make a decision.
Well, that's not our problem.
If we're going to add this stipulation area, it becomes our problem.
No. But I think this stipulation is at the request of that property owner.
Of the applicant.
Technically, I would guess, Mr. Wilson, that our planning and zoning inspectors were to get a, or our planning and zoning department were to get a complaint from one of the other owners that the applicant is not paying her fair share at that point. It's possible that a planning and zoning inspector could investigate and possibly bring it back to us or to the appropriate person within staff and have the condition voided, have the permit voided, if the tenants of that permit are not being maintained. Is that right, Mr. Klein? Whenever a condition is not maintained, our department, our planning and zoning department, has the authority, I believe, to void the permit.
It's very difficult, but it's possible.
That's what I see. Very difficult and hardly possible.
Have you ever voided a permit?
We've voided several applications, but it's been over the years. Probably not as many as we could.
But after the gentleman has already established his residence or his business, where's the permits come play then, right?
Oh, well, there's one point I would like to just pulled the file. That condition recommended by the commission, the applicant shall contribute a pro rata share of all upkeep and maintenance costs of Collins Avenue, was also submitted in the same wording. The applicant shall contribute a pro rata share of all upkeep and maintenance costs of Collins Avenue from the applicant representative, September 11, 2012, with council. And then there was a revised wording, again from the applicant, that the applicant shall share in the cost of maintenance and repair of Collins Avenue proportionately with other property owners on Collins Avenue. So really much difference, but it is a different wording that came up later at the council level.
Part of it, Sam, is it makes me uncomfortable to allow something on a private road.
I understand.
You know what I'm saying?
I agree. It's
so that makes me uncomfortable. But by doing this, I think that my comfort level increases because this does have a records, you know, that somebody can come back to and say,
I agree.
You did agree to this.
I agree totally what you said, but getting it done is the problem.
We got a lot of conditional use out there where we've had, we put time in, we've done it over the years, a number of times. What I'm suggesting is we don't make a habit of it, but every once in a while we may have to say, maybe in this case it's best to include this. I don't want a bunch of them out there. I agree. I'm trying to wean ourselves off of these kind of things.
What percentage are we going to pay? What percentage does this man have to pay? 50%? Is that what it is?
They've agreed to 50%. So I, like, because they agree, it's not like, I think it's easy to do it in this particular. So I'm just saying, I'm not suggesting we do this a lot. It should be rare.
But in this case, we're going to put 50% in the condition, correct?
Yeah, I would yes. suggest that we do that.
It would take
him to amend.
That is correct.
Now, do we need to have the short title read first?
That's what we've traditionally done: is read the short title
and
with conditions, then amend.
Entertain your motion to amend, and then we'll vote on the proposal. Yeah. Anything else from Mr. Lank? Okay, Mr. Moore, will you need a short title, please.
Yes. An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a therapist's office and residence to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth Hundred, Sussex County, containing 22,161 square feet, more or less, tax map ID 3-34-12-85, with conditions A through M, as read into the record by Mr. Lank, and is contained on page 4 and 5 of the council packet.
Okay, I would like to amend condition E and add the wording 50% and striking the word pro rata.
Do you also, just for clarification, since you mentioned during the time that this conditional use
Got some wording for that, I would appreciate it.
So it could be amended to read, the applicant shall contribute a 50% share of all upkeep and maintenance costs of Collins Avenue during such times this conditional use remains in effect.
That would be my motion.
Okay. Have a motion, Mr. Cole.
Second.
Second, Mr. Phillips, to amend What was that, E?
That is correct.
As Mr. Moore read into the record. Any question on the motion? Now we'll take the vote on the motion. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Although yes, motion carried.
I'll make a motion that we adopt CU 1938 with the amended conditions.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mr. Phillips, to adopt a conditional use 1938 with the amended conditions. Any questions on that motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Cole?
I feel that with these conditions, I think that my understanding was the upkeep of the road and the use of that road was the big difficulty and the support with the neighbors and things. And so my vote will be yes with the conditions. I think will help protect everything.
Mr. Phillips?
It almost reads as if it's already a permitted use in our home occupation code, but this will allow for group therapy, and it's something that I think would help the therapists increase their business. So I'll vote yes.
Mr. Wilson?
I vote along planning and zoning, yes.
I also agree with planning and zoning's findings and their recommendations for conditions as amended. That seemed to be the one issue with the neighbors that were here at our hearing was the use of that road. Was going to pay to fix it. And we've answered that. Yes, motion. Next, Mr. Lang.
Yes, thank you. Second application is conditional use number 1923, the application of Donna Massey to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a multifamily dwelling structure, proposing two units to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Seaford 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 35,000 square feet, more or less, lying at the west of Road 552, also known as Shoefelt Road, 1/2 mile north of Route 20, also known as Stein Highway. Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application on February 9 of 2012. This application, again, was reviewed several times under old business and discussed by the commission. On March 22nd, the commission again discussed it under old business. Mr. Wheatley referenced that if approved, the motion should reference that the intent is to include family members. Mr. Ross referenced the existence of a homeowners association and questioned if the commission were to recommend approval, can the homeowners association and the applicant work with each other to resolve their differences? Mr. Smith stated that the commission held a public hearing, deferred action, and listened to Mr. Robertson's findings as to the restrictions and covenants, and then asked if he was correct that what the applicant is requesting, a two-unit multifamily dwelling structure, is prohibited by ordinance. That the restrictions and covenants do and are pertaining to the site and the surrounding neighborhood and adjacency to the site. That the commission is being asked to recommend approval for a multifamily two-unit dwelling structure that does not, in its correct format, exist. That as stated by the applicant, the cooking facilities are not in place, nor were they in place previously. That the commission is not being asked forgiveness of a violation. That the commission is being asked to allow the creation of a multifamily dwelling structure that is prohibited by the recorded restrictions and covenants from being allowed. That the restrictions and covenants were recorded 10 years prior to the applicant's purchasing the property. That the restrictions and covenants were public record as indicated by the 9 signatures and a petition in opposition to the application. That the restrictions and covenants were relied on by the opposition and all parties to sales of those lands as to what could and could not be created upon those lands. That at the public hearing, the applicant could provide no evidence of this multifamily two-unit dwelling structure being in conformity to the nature of the surrounding neighborhood. That Mr. Robertson said the county council gives a lot of consideration to conformity when the council deals in matters of restrictions and covenants. The applicant stated her intention to deed the property to another family member, resulting in her perhaps residing in the created smaller living unit. Questioning how many times the commission has heard Mr. Fuqua or Mr. Schrader as examples, tell the commission that the commission must obey the ordinances in effect at the time of the application and public hearing. That the commission has been cautioned not to legislate but that if the commission finds an ordinance to the contrary or in need of amendment to do so, but we must honor that ordinance or findings of fact as its enforcement in the present time, that even if it means submerging our individual opinions as to what the law ought to be, the commission must respect the majesty of the law. I'm getting out there philosophical here.
Majesty?
Excuse me, that's a full page. That the public needs to be able to rely on this being so. That the signers of the petition relied on these restrictions and covenants, and while one, Mr. Dennis Stordahl, indicated that he could be comfortable with a family member's only condition as an approved recommendation, Mr. Stordahl indicated twice that he did not speak for anyone other than himself. That no one has expressed a comfort level with a family member's only condition as an approved recommendation. That the commission has a difficult decision to make, that many times I myself, speaking for Mr. Ross, and perhaps other commission members as well, have had to hold your nose and vote for approval of an application. That why? Because it was the proper thing to do. That this may be a time when I have to hold my nose and vote for denial for the same reason. That a lot of energy has been spent on this application, and it is the same energy that we try to bring to each application and public hearing that is brought before us. And that we are a good commission, and I will respect the vote no matter the outcome.
Who was speaking?
Mr. Ross.
Didn't say that.
Yes. Mr. Robertson stated that the use is not a permitted use, but an application process is available for an application, and in reference to a conditional use. That the use is not prohibited by code or ordinance, only that it is not a permitted use, but requires conditional use approval. That the county is not bound to abide by restrictive covenants, but the county should give some consideration to those restrictive covenants. Mr. Burton agreed with Mr. Smith in reference to previous considered Folmsby application. Mr. Robertson referenced that the Folmsby application was originally approved for family use, and a recent application was requested to eliminate family use only, and that application seeking an amendment to the original approval was denied. Mr. Johnson agreed with some of Mr. Smith's comments and with Mr. Wheatley's comments, and stated that he may support the application since the lot is on a public road, not in a subdivision, and since the improvements appear to be one single family dwelling structure. Oh, let's take, I said Mr. Ross or Mr. Smith, I'm sorry.
Thank you. I was really confused.
I read too many words, I think, there. Mr. Ross stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use 1923 for Donna Massey for a multifamily dwelling structure of 2 units based on the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the applicant owns the existing structure, which she desires to use as 2 separate dwelling units while she occupies one of them. Two, with the conditions placed upon this use, it will be limited to the applicant as long as she occupies one of the units. Three, the use will not have a significant impact on roadways or traffic. Four, although there was opposition to the proposed use, that opposition appeared to be directed against the possibility that both units would become rental units occupied by unrelated parties and not the applicant or her family. Five, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A, only 2 units shall be permitted, and they shall be located within the existing structure. B, one of the units shall be occupied by the applicant, Donna Massey, and her family. In the event she no longer occupies a unit on the property as her residence, this conditional use shall automatically terminate. C, the property may be subject to restrictive covenants concerned the proposed use. The county is not a part to nor governed by those restrictions. This recommendation should not be construed to override any applicable restrictions or the rights of property owners to enforce them. Indeed, the final site plan shall be subject to review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion by Mr. Ross, seconded by Mr. Johnson, and carried with 3 votes to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. That motion carried 3-2. Commission then held a voice vote By roll call, Mr. Ross voted yea, Mr. Smith nay, Mr. Johnson yea, Mr. Burton nay, and Mr. Wheatley yea. On this application, council held a public hearing on March 20th of 2011, and deferred action. There was no specific reason stated. That's all I have.
Question, Mr. Lang.
Well, on letter B, she would have to be the person. Why couldn't she like let a daughter or a son be there? I mean, if she it says her specifically, or if and her family. Why couldn't it be worded so that a member of her family would have to live there? I guess it would be a major change, would it not? But you think about, maybe you want your grown daughter or grown son and family to live there instead of yourself or when you pass or something like that.
It could be, but that's the way it was worded by the commission and their.
It doesn't seem to. Maybe I misunderstand because it looks like. It shall be occupied by the applicant, Donna Massey, and her family. Doesn't that mean it has to be her specifically?
Well, that's the way it's written.
Right.
That's the way it was presented.
Right, okay. So it would have to be her. It can't be a son, grown son or daughter.
Might need a definition of family nowadays. Things are getting awfully difficult out there to figure out.
We have a definition of family.
It doesn't say or, it says and.
The best definition, it basically says you can any number of people related or four people unrelated. That's just short words.
But it says and her family. So they're included without her then. That would be fine. It would work. Hmm? What you're saying?
I assume so. I'd have to refer to Mr. Moore.
And is it safe to say from after listening to all that, there are deed restrictions that do not
There are deed restrictions. This is a strip lot that was created before the subdivision to the rear, which is called Crestfield.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
This development was under the name of Mary Handy. There were deed restrictions.
Is this property part of those deed restrictions?
For that subdivision of Mary Handy.
It is. Okay.
The subdivision to the rear was created by Mrs. Handy's son. It's called Crestfield, and it's got same or similar restrictions.
Okay.
Separate from the first grant.
Okay.
The objections came from people in Crestfield. It also came from Mr. Stordahl, which I think lived in the strip lots also.
Okay. And all those strip lots had similar restrictions?
There are restrictive covenants recorded elsewhere, and we had to go in and find the restrictions.
Okay. But this one, there are deed restrictions.
There are.
Okay. That prevent. Supposedly, you can't do this.
It says it shall be a single family home built on the lot. It doesn't expand upon it.
Okay.
We referred it to Mr. Moore for a legal opinion on whether the deed restrictions.
Right. Because we received a letter from the homeowner association saying that this property was not part of the association.
And it is not part of the association, as Mr. Lank correctly stated. There is a separate subdivision behind the strip lots that is known as Crestfield. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones that are subject to the homeowner association. There is no homeowner association on the strip lots that are in front.
Right, but are there deed restrictions on those strip lots?
Yes.
Okay. So the question is not so much... I'm more concerned about the deed restrictions on this land that we're talking about rezoning. And you say there are deed restrictions similar to the ones that are in the rear, but not the same because one's part of a subdivision and this one's a strip lot.
Right.
Is it a minor subdivision, the strip lots or anything?
Yes.
They are, okay, so it's a subdivision too, just
it was
a different.
A subdivision, but it was just strip lots.
Strip lots.
Right.
Minor.
Can you read the title?
Pardon?
No, he can't do that. Any more questions, Mr. Lank?
I didn't hear what you said.
Read the short title, please.
We were going to ask. I had asked Mr. Moore about something, and we didn't get an answer. And so, she can. And B, what could you answer? Whether it has to be Mrs. Donna Massey, and it cannot be one of her sons. Say she passes and wants her son to live there with his family. Can that happen?
Way it's read, I believe it's Donna Massey and her family. It would not be or.
If she passes, then it's over with.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, then it's null and void.
More.
An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a multifamily dwelling structure, two units, to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Seaford 100, Sussex County, containing 35,000 square feet, more or less, with conditions that were read by Mr. Lank, and they are A through D on pages 8 and 9 of the council handout.
Entertain a motion.
You got it.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Wilson, second, Mr. Phillips, to approve conditional use 1923 with conditions. Any question on the motion? Take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
Planning and zoning really went through this very thoroughly, and I appreciate that, and I appreciate their decision and their reasons for the decision. I think that we need on residential occupancy, I think we need to lean to the side of being more reasonable, and that would help folks. So I would vote, I would approve this.
Hey, Mr. Cole.
I'm going to have to fall on the side of the deed restrictions. I think they're very important, and we've also just got done discussing about enforcements and how we should be weaning ourselves from trying to enforce difficult things. The previous application, we were talking about enforcement of road maintenance. Now we're involved in individuals and family members and this and that, and
it
gets awfully, awfully complicated.
It's
so
just her.
I would like to, I'm going to vote no, and I'll take the side that it probably was a worthy application stuff, but I think in this case it might set a bad precedent, so I'll vote no.
And Mr. Phillips.
I believe this is going to have a very limited impact. I believe that siding on the going on the side of the applicant in this case would be appropriate in light of property rights and opportunity. I vote yes.
Mr. Wilson.
I ditto what Mr. Phillips said, and also vote with planning and zoning. Yes.
I do understand Councilman Cole's concerns, but I do think that this has a very limited impact. I think P&Z has a lot of thought about this, and I agree with their findings and with the conditions. I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lank. Mrs. Susan Webb, grant request.
Okay, the first one today. The Delaware Police Chiefs Council, and this is another one that missed the human service grant cutoff. However, those funds are dwindling. they typically get $2,500. We have $870 left to finish out that budget. We could just give them $870, or we could take the difference among Councilmatic. They do get $2,500 from the Human Service Grant a year, and then a $500 grant throughout the year. So that will wrap up any more recipients or late people.
That's $3,875.
So, pleasure, Council.
They're asking for $3,000.
No, they typically get $2,500 is what their normal grant is. For the human service grants, they didn't specify.
I thought in the last paragraph.
Did they?
Some of
3,000. We wouldn't give them three. Oh, yeah, sorry, 3,000, but we don't have three to give, so.
Can we give them the 870
yes.
from human service and then provide the additional $2,130
yes.
divided evenly from council members' discretionary
yes, it
fund.
Would be $326 apiece.
I make that motion.
That's reasonable.
Motion, Mr. Phillips.
Second.
Second, Mr. Cole. Any questions on the motion?
I need to give this money.
Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Mr. Wilson.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion yeah. carried.
Yes.
Next, ma'am.
Lewis and Bloom.
Okay, this is a new program, and it's for little kids, and I know that I can't do it justice in explaining it. I asked the folks if one person could come and explain in case we had questions, and I think we have seven, we might have six out there. Would it be possible for them to briefly, or someone to briefly explain the program? And I think it is for children who think the tomatoes come from the giant food store and not, they don't learn much about gardening.
She's going to bring somebody up for this.
We're having some folks come up and talk about the Lewis and Bloom program.
Certainly, yes.
Thank you. My name is Warren Goldie. I'm co-founder and co-chair of Lewis and Bloom. We're an all-volunteer nonprofit organization, about 60 members. We're in our 11th year. And the purpose of this garden, well, let me give you one little background on this. When I was 5 years old, my grandfather took me out into the garden to plant some seeds. I'd never done anything like that before. And we planted nasturtiums, radishes. I couldn't wait for these to come up and either bloom or harvest. And I was so enthralled by that horticulture became my life's work. And I'm a professional horticulturist. And that's because of being exposed to gardening at a very early age and supervision by responsible adults. And so the purpose of our garden is to promote children's interest in gardening. The garden and its programs are designed to pique children's curiosity about nature and gardening, a site for families, children, and others to learn how vegetables, fruits, and flowers grow. The garden will encourage healthier lifestyles in terms of nutrition and exercise. It will also provide opportunities for enhancing the children's storytelling program of the Lewis Library. The garden is located on the grounds of the Lewis Library in Stango Park. And that is our goal.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, sir. Commendable.
Are you an organic farmer?
Mr. Wilson asked a question.
Am I an organic farmer?
Yeah.
Actually, as much as possible.
Okay. I just wanted to use chemicals.
I prefer not to if wherever possible.
Well, if you do, you have to have a chemical license. You know that.
Oh, yes. Delaware. Okay. Oh, yes. Well, I have one.
And, if you use manure or anything like that, you have a manure management license, too. Nuclear management license. You know that, do you?
Okay.
I mean, it's all required by the state.
You don't need a license to ask questions.
Who's county?
Thank you, sir.
Whose district is this in?
Lewis, I assume that's Mr. Deaver's district, I guess.
Yes, it is.
Mr. Deaver.
I would like to help them get a start on it. I won't be able to do this, certainly, on a regular basis, but I think I would like to draw $3,500 from my account for this one time. And I think it's an excellent program, and we were lucky in our family. We lived on a farm for a while, and I loved it. So there's a lot to be gained by this, and a lot of other things kids could be doing other than this, and it's a good program.
I'll second.
I have a motion from Mrs. Deaver, second Mr. Phillips, to grant $3,500 Mrs. Deaver's account. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Cole?
Yes.
Phillips?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Yes, motion carried.
Thank you.
Introduction proposed zoning ordinance. Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. There's one, an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for warehousing and relocation of a helicopter pad as extension to conditional use number 1679, office and warehousing, and conditional use number 1858, helicopter landing site private, to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Dagsborough 100, Sussex County, containing 8.46 acres, more or less, tax map ID 4-33, 71501 and 1502, District 5.
I'll introduce it.
Mr. Phillips introduces it.
I'll say. Don't need
we
to
have no additional business brought before council, Mr. Guy. We have no executive session, so there's no possible action on executive session. Mr. Moore, can we adjourn now, or do we need to recess and go out there and adjourn out there?
Since it was on the agenda listed, then you would need to recess and go out there and then adjourn
turn
after
there.
That.
Entertain a motion to go into recess to the Sussex County Profile Luncheon.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Wilson, second. Mr. Phillips, any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I will yes. Motion carried.
The mayor of Georgetown's here.